The next case to be heard this morning is number 2008-0129, James and Verna Gibson versus Richard A. Levin, Tax Commissioner. Mr. Hertenstein? Did I pronounce that correctly?
Exactly correct, Your Honor.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Ed Hertenstein with the law firm of Retzel and Andrus, and we represent the appellants, James and Verna Gibson. Your Honor, this is a statute of limitations case. It arises from an informal notice that the appellants received on January 24, 2005, pursuant to a closing agreement with IRS in March of 2000. On February 3rd, 2006, roughly 1 year after the informal notice, appellee issued a formal notice of assessment. This case arises from our appeal from the Board of Tax Appeals in the matter. We believe that the reasoning of the Mancino case is instructive here, and using that case, we advised the appellants not to pay pursuant to the informal notice. In the Mancino case, in the years 1986 and 7 tax years, our case involves the 1995 tax years. The taxpayers in Mancino received federal adjustments. They did not file an amended tax return. And similarly, as in the case here, the tax commissioner issued an informal notice to which the taxpayers in Mancino paid and then filed a petition for reassessment. Claiming that the statute of limitations had run. This court held that because payment was made pursuant to the notice, that the statute of limitations, which the taxpayers could have claimed, could have been invoked, was not applicable in that case.
Let me ask you factually, there's a similarity here, isn't there, that no amended return was filed by your clients, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
There is that similarity, which we found very instructive and hopeful in our case.
But now the difference, though, isn't it that in Mancino, the taxpayers paid after the informal notice was sent out. They did not pay on an actual assessment.
Right, and that is the instructive roadmap that this court gave us to follow in advising our clients not to pay that. It seems, even though Appley in his brief said that our reliance on Mancino was misplaced, they beat us to the punch in relying on Mancino. There's no reason for them to have issued an informal notice other than to solve what they saw as a statute of limitations problem that had a successful strategy in Mancino.
Well, but then they actually did issue the assessment, which would have...
Well, because they had nothing else to do. They figured out that their Mancino strategy wasn't working, so they weren't going to get payment pursuant to that strategy that was successful in avoiding a statute of limitations problem in Mancino. So they had nothing else to do but issue the formal assessment.
Is the issuing of the informal notice, is it your position that that was something that the tax commissioner should not have done?
Well, I think he was trying to repeat a successful strategy that worked in Mancino. If the commissioner did not believe that he had a statute of limitations problem, there is no logical reason to have issued the informal notice. Bear in mind, the informal notice came in January of 2005. The assessment was February 2006. This is pursuant to a 1995 tax year and a 2000 audit adjustment by IRS. Why would the commissioner have waited, aside from the first 5 years, why would he have waited a whole year with an informal notice? Well, unless he also was reading and believing Mancino.
Well, does the record contain any evidence about what the commissioner was doing when he issued the informal notice?
Or? Well, I don't have the ability to get that information. Okay. No, the record does not, because even though we have been proactive in discussing how this case could be resolved other than here, Appley never wanted to talk with us, even today.
So, I mean, you're speculating as to what the tax commissioner's motive was, but I suppose it's possible that the tax commissioner sends out an informal notice just to see if there's something that, you know, some consideration that should be given that would not lead to issuing an assessment. I mean, there might be some explanation.
There might be. None was given. I can't imagine what it would be, a tax collected by an assessment or by an informal notice. I believe spends the same for the state. I can't see of any reason to do that.
I guess what I'm saying is that it's possible that the commissioner's agents wanted to give the taxpayer the opportunity to offer some explanation before they issued an assessment.
I mean, well, when we ask for an opportunity to meet and discuss resolving the case, we were always rebuffed with the fact that there was just no jurisdiction. It seems as if the taxpayer or the appellee's position is that it can issue an assessment, you know, pick a year, 1950, for some unlimited amount of money, and unless the amount is paid, even though the statute is clearly run, then there's nothing to.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
When you say this is a statute of limitation case, when, in your view, did the statute of limitation begin to run?
When the tax return was filed.
Well, no amended return was filed.
No amended return was filed. The same as Mancino, and this court analyzed all of the relevant statutes that are relevant here. 5747, 10, 13A, and E, and came to the conclusion that the reason that the taxpayer could not invoke the statute of limitation, the reason was that he voluntarily paid. I'm watching my clock, Your Honor.
Right. Well, but you're, of course, there's no holding in Mancino that's. What we're saying, what you're saying here is that
no, the
payment here is a payment on an assessment. So
right.
The case is just different from Mancino.
It is different in that respect, but it's the closest case we have and the only case by this court. The appellee in his brief cites many cases, but none of which involve a taxpayer claiming a statute of limitations has run. None of which do that. In the Brown case he cites, is actually a very favorable case for us.
Okay. Is there more argument?
You know, I would like to reserve if I...
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hertenstein. Mr. Schweppe.
Good morning, Your Honor. I think there's a couple things that we need to begin with. I think RC 574710 did impose an obligation on the taxpayer to file an amended return once they had resolved their issues with the IRS. As was acknowledged, that never happened. And when way we read RC 574713A is that the four-year period for the statute of limitations would begin to run at the filing of that amended return. So we would have 4 years after the amended return had been filed to issue the assessment. However, that amended return was never filed. And so from our perspective, the statute of limitations has yet begun to run. And so the tax commissioner was timely in issuing the assessment. I believe that this court has not directly addressed that issue and would like for the court to adopt the holding of the BTA on that. We did cite in our brief an 11th District case, Gibson versus Limbaugh, which I believe is on point and very similar to our case, and would request that the court adopt the rationale of the 11th District in that decision. And they relied upon a prior decision out of this case, out of this court, McLean Trucking, which is a 1982 case, which was a corporate franchise tax case, which was a very similar analogous type of situation where an amended return was not filed, and so the statute had not begun to run.
What significance does the Mancino case have for this case, in the commissioner's view?
Your Honor, I've always been perplexed why they relied on it. I'm not certain that it does. All that case said is that it was a voluntary payment and it wasn't dealing with an assessment. So it just doesn't quite match the facts that we have before the court today, okay? As for the issue of the payment, once they failed to make the payment on their appeal, there simply was no jurisdiction in which to entertain the appeal. I believe the tax commissioner held that way, the BTA held that way, and if necessary, we believe that the court also should hold as such. And I believe we had cited the Pengoff case in our brief for that proposition, and a couple of other cases, the prefab case and the Niemeyer case as well, which are on point on that issue. We think that the law is clear, that simply the period has not begun to run, and the taxpayer can't come in here not filing the amended return and hoping that the state never finds out and trying to wait it out. And that's in essence what they're arguing.
What about the issuance first of this informal notice? Is there anything that needs to be said about that?
I think that's a nice courteous action by the tax commissioner to see if there is something out there, some reason, as you had suggested, maybe why the assessment shouldn't be issued. I'm not certain that those type of inquiries can be held against the tax commissioner.
Does it have any legal significance at all under the statute?
No, Your Honor, not from our perspective.
Is there anything else?
No, Your Honor. If there's nothing further, we would request that you affirm the BTA decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schweppe. Mr. Hertenstein, you've reserved 6 minutes and 40 seconds for rebuttal.
Thank you. I also have been perplexed why Appalee didn't understand our reliance, and I realize I had a law professor once tell me not to beat a dead horse, so I'm going to try not to do that. But I see no reason for what he calls their nice, courteous action, recognizing that my experience can be limited. I've never received such an action before by the tax commissioner. I'm not sure that in extending a nice, courteous action, one would wait over a year before following up with a notice of assessment.
Is it your position that the issuance of that informal notice has a legal significance in this case, that had the commissioner not issued it, it would come out differently?
Well, I don't know why they wanted to wait more than another year on what had to be considered a somewhat old case to begin with. So I see no other issue. I do think there was great legal significance in the informal notice, because had the taxpayer paid it, it's clear under Mancino, they would have been dead in the water. And so I think that it's just too big of a coincidence that wasn't really otherwise explained here by Mr. Schweppe, that why would you issue a courteous notice? I don't have facts to show how many times the commissioner's office does this and how many times they don't. I know they've never done it to any of my clients before. It just seems too coincidental.
There's nothing in the statute, though, that would forbid that action.
Well, of course not.
Or that would, in some way, that would affect the statute
limitation. But if they were going to be nice and courteous, we just met for the first time today, had a nice chat. If they're going to be nice and courteous, you would have thought they would have wanted to meet with us and not continually rebuff our request to meet and talk about the case. Most parties can, if they get a chance to sit down and talk face to face, can resolve some issues, but we weren't given that opportunity.
But I guess I keep coming back, the tax commissioner's position here is that your clients did not file the amended return, and you
right.
agree with that, and that therefore the statute of limitation on the additional liability that resulted from the federal adjustments never began to run. And your response to that is what I'm interested in hearing. Why is that analysis incorrect?
I think Mr. Schweppe and I agree on the response there, and that's a question that this court has not addressed. That there has been no case that has held that the failure to file an amended return extends the statute under 574713A.
Well, but doesn't the language of the statutes, certainly the filing of the amended return is required, is it not, by the statute?
But that's not a statute of limitations statute.
Well, but then doesn't the statute of limitations say, you know, only if you filed the returns that are required does that statute begin to run?
But I think it talks about return, yes. But I think Mr. Schweppe and I agree that is an open decision.
Well, and I guess
an open question.
And what I'm looking for is what language would you point to in the statute that would lead the court to the decision that you desire?
I do believe that without trying to evade your question, the statute doesn't solve that question. We took great hope in the court's reasoning in Mancino that went through our same facts, the same statutes, and then said that only because the taxpayers paid pursuant to the informal notice were the taxpayers not able to invoke the statute of limitations. It seems that the court's reasoning on those facts and on those statutes is much more important than mine.
If you have nothing further.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hertenstein. This case will be submitted. The court will advise the parties of its decision.